goes on, I believe that it's a miracle, because the devil will try to get you distracted. He will try to get you upset. He will try to get you angry and all of those things. I'm going to encourage you the best way that I can, which is through the Word of God. Give God the next 55 minutes of today to make those things, to put a peace in those areas. You know, right before the service, my sound guys go, Pastor Kelly, we cannot do any type of music through our PC. The girls couldn't do their type of praise and worship and all these things. Now, Kayla, I have to make a decision. I have to decide, am I going to be worried about that while I preach? See, y'all all came here probably with some type of concern. Maybe there's a family thing that's got you irritated. Maybe there's a bill that you don't know how it's going to be paid. See, all of these things, you have to make a decision about what you're going to do for the next 55 minutes of your life. And I encourage you to give those things to God, because see, not one ounce of worry is going to make that thing work out, but just the absolute blessed assurance that God is going to take care of those things. See, you can't add anything to that problem by worrying about it, but you can add to the resolve of it by giving it over. I'm going to ask you, if you've got something in here today that you're concerned about, maybe you've had a disagreement with somebody that you love, maybe you have a health problem, I'm going to ask you and I'm going to encourage you to give that over to God right now, because see, He's there with open arms to have that problem from you, and He will take it. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person. Father God, under the sound of my voice, and right now, I speak recovery into the lives of every person here. God, I speak finances to their families right now. Lord, I speak health to those bodies. God, I thank you, Lord, that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by your Spirit, says the Lord. So God, we're going to go with what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. I always preach out of the overflow of my life. And so that's what y'all will receive today, is some of the things that is going on with me. And Monday night, I knew what I was going to preach about today, because I had a situation come up. And God is so amazing. If you will allow Him, He will put you in the right place at the right time for a divine appointment for you. And God knows that on Mondays I will be handing out meals to the senior citizens. This past Monday, we served and cooked and delivered 206 senior citizen meals in Logan County. Amen. If you are a part of any part of that Monday senior meal program, will you please stand? We'd like to recognize those volunteers in here. If you have a part in that, amen. Amen. We could not do what we do without people who have a heart to serve. And we're saved to serve. You're not saved just for your four and no more. You're saved to serve. And you're blessed to be a blessing. Amen. So Monday rolls around, and my very last stop, and I don't think that she would mind me to mention her name, but I stopped at Miss Reba Rollins. How many of you know Reba? She has been in my life for many, many years. We used to get our hair cut with her when we were little, and she is just such a woman of faith. And I was really just fine. I wasn't in really any particular type of bad mood. I was in a good mood. And I took those meals up to her, and she said, Pastor Kelly, come right back over there. Come right here. I was in a hurry. I was in a hurry. I had to get Carson to a soccer game. And so she told me to get myself right back over there. So I did. And I come over there, and she goes, God wants me to pray for the manna center. Well, the manna center wasn't even on my brain. Now, for those of you that don't know, the church will have a manna center right over here, and we are believing God for that. You know, it has been 2 years, and there has not been one thing done in the natural realm in that building. But, you know, in the spirit realm, that building is already there. And so we walk by faith, not by sight. See, if you're waiting to walk by what you can see, you're going to be waiting a long time sometimes. I'm going to say that one more time. If you're waiting to walk by what you can physically see, you're going to wait a long time sometimes. And so we can't walk by what we can see. We have to choose to walk by faith. And so I get over there to Reba, and I just was standing there. I was ready for her to pray. Well, that wasn't good enough for her. She said, no, I want both of your hands, and I want you to put them in my hands. Well, praise the Lord. I'm good for who's down with boss and the pastor around, because a lot of times I just have to do it all. So I just put my hands, just like she said, in her hands, and she took me by the hand, and she said, in the name of Jesus, Father God, respectfully, I am going to remind you of your word. God, with every bit of respect that I have, God, I'm going to remind you of what your word says. Now look here, you can't remind God what the word says if you're so lazy you won't get your butt up and read the word. Now this is a tell it like it is. There can't be a lot of sugarcoating behind a pulpit, because what will happen is people will continue to live in such a way they don't know what's up and what's down. They don't know what's right and what's wrong. And I'm going to give an account one day for what I do. So I have to make it very clear. And she said, Father God, I respectfully remind you of your word. And Father God, your word says that where two or more are gathered in agreement. And she said, Father God, there is power in agreement. And I want to preach this morning to you on the power of agreement. Because see, it is so hard for anybody to just agree. We are living in a society where everybody wants to fight and everybody wants to bicker. And sadly, that type of filth has come into the church nationwide. And even church people are fighting and bickering. And I hate to say it, but a lot of times church people are worse. Why? Because we get self-righteous. We forget what God took us out of. May you never forget what God did for you. You're never better than anybody else. Go with me to Matthew chapter 18. We are going to begin to read at verse 19. You know, I was raised in the ministry my entire life, and there's some things that I have learned throughout the years. We used to wake up every morning at 5:30 and read and have a Bible study. And I wish I could say that I retained all that Bible reading, but I didn't. You can read the Bible every day of your life, but if you don't understand it, it's not going to help you. If you don't understand it, it's not going to help you. If I get a book up of, don't anybody get offended. There's too much people getting offended these days. And I got to be able to talk without people getting offended. Now, if you get offended up in here, you are going to have to get over it. That's right. But if I got a book up and it was all in Spanish or Chinese, that book could tell me how to read $1 million. But I don't know Chinese, and I don't know Spanish. So, Kayla, it would do me no good. Now, let me tell you something. Get you a Bible, whatever you can read, but get it to where you understand it, because it will not help you if you don't. You have to be able to understand the word. One of my jobs is when I preach, I've got to do it in such a way where everybody can understand it. That's what I'm going to do today. I have learned personally that you can hang on every word out of the mouth of God. You can hang on every single word. So I am going today, one of the things that I do is I preach, and I'm just going to do this on a teaching standpoint this morning. I have had this Bible since I was 10 years old. This is the only Bible that I preach out of. However, it's an NIV. There are times, Tanya, that I do not understand completely what it's saying. When I don't understand that, how many of you have a smartphone? Okay. I have what is called the Bible app on my phone. So then if I'm reading something and I don't understand it out of this Bible that I've had since I was 10 years old, I get the smartphone and I pull up that app and I begin to cross-reference those verses. And I do that in the Amplified version and the CEV version. And I do that because those two versions are very, very understandable. So that's what I'm going to do today, because if I can get you to understanding just how much power there is in agreement, we're going to all be better off. So Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 through 20, I'm going to read this first in the Amplified translation. And this is Jesus talking. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, he says, "Again, I say to you that if two believers on earth agree..." What does the word agree mean? The word agree means that we are in one mind, one accord, and we are in harmony. So the word is saying, if two or more believers are in one mind, in agreement, in one accord, and if they are in harmony, there is a promise in this verse. If they can agree about anything that they ask within the will of God. Now let me tell you something. I could get every one of y'all to agree on something that may not be the will of God. And guess what? God won't answer that. So what the word is saying is where two or more people, those believers and where they are gathered, if they will ask anything in my name, parentheses, it has to be within the will of God. You cannot ask for something that is not in God's will. Now, let me point out to you, in prayer, there have been times where it's happened with me, I'm sure it's happened with y'all. God will tell you something that he's going to do or that he wants to do in your life. And you don't need to say, "God, if it's your will that happens." See, that's a dumb prayer. If God's already told you, you know it's his will. You have to pray. When we agree, when Reba and I were standing there, we were in agreement within the will of God. The food ministry is what it is today, and the Manna Center is there in the spirit realm today, not because of me. Now that's the truth. But it's because of God. So I'm not over here wondering if it's his will. Whatever God orders, he will pay for it. Whatever God tells you is going to happen in your life, it's already done. See, every demon in hell wants to get you to walk in doubt over if that's going to happen or not. But let me tell you something. Whatever God has ordained for your life, there is not a demon in the pit of hell that could ever make it not happen. There is not an enemy that you have that can mess that up for you. What God has planned for your life, nobody can mess that up. Now, you can choose to walk in disobedience and go around Mount Sinai for 20, 30 years, but see, you don't want to do that. To obey is better than sacrifice. To just do it God's way would be better the first time for you. But here we see in the Word where it says here, that if two believers on earth agree about anything that they ask, as long as it's within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, where two or three are gathered in my name, not a Buddha, not any other gods. See, there is one name that's going to be mentioned, that when it's mentioned, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. There is no other God. Amen. Now, we can have other gods in our life. I love sports, and I love that our kids are in sports and see all these other things. And this is not going to score me brownie points, but it's going to not do you any good if you don't know where your pastor's heart is. I can't teach you unless I'm willing to be transparent about what I do in my own life. Amen? And I'm not saying that this is what you have to do in your life, but what I am saying is, to be completely transparent with you, this is how I run my life. My child is in soccer. I'm glad that he's in soccer. If you have a mobile phone, please turn it off. Now, they told me, well, we're going to need to practice on this day, and we're going to have a game this day. Guess what? We're going to do that stuff so long as it's not on a church day. But guess what? If it's on a church day, it ain't happening. Why? Because I trust God with my children more than I trust the school, more than I trust anything else. I trust Him with my children. And because I trust Him with my children, I'm going to honor Him with my children. I'm going to honor Him in that way. Do I think it's a sin when you miss church because of a game? No, I don't. Okay? So don't be thinking in your head, I'm offended at Pastor Kelly right now. Once again, you're going to have to get over that if you are, because that's not what I said. What I said was, this is how I do my life. And if anybody looks at my life and thinks that it's all a bed of roses and I've never had a problem, let me tell you something. I have problems, just like everybody else. Temptations, just like everybody else. Okay? There's nothing different about me. It's not like I'm exempt from life. I'm not. Okay? So we all live in the same place. So it says here, for where two or three are gathered in my name. What does that mean? Meeting together as my followers. Now, we're going to come back here, but I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. Because we just read, for where two or three are gathered in my name. I'm going to point something out to you. And I'm doing this today in such a way because what I want to see in the lives of the people that come and sit under me is this right here. When you pray, I want to see you get results. When you're suffering, when one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. So I want to see everybody live their very best life, and I'm going to show you chapter and verse on how to do that. So where two or three are gathered together in my name. Now, here's one of the things about the power of agreement. The church is a place to gather in agreement. The church is a place where we gather in agreement. Now, let me tell you something. Let me also say, I've seen this happen my entire childhood. We would be in the grocery store down there at the old CV's IGX. And Dad would be walking down an aisle. Somebody would say, Pastor Angelo, will you pray for me? He would grab them right there in the meat department. And guess what they were doing? They were agreeing. Am I saying that you can only get in the power of agreement in a church? No. But what I am saying is this right here. There, when you come into church, look at how many people that you can get in agreement with you. There is power in agreement. There is power when you come to God's house and you look around and you say, you know what, these people are most of them more my family than my own flesh and blood family. This is the people we're going to heaven with, and I'm going to sit by Rocky. I call her Aunt Fran. Is she my aunt? No, but she is now. And I'm going to sit by Aunt Fran, and we're going to agree. See, if we can get the idea and the knowledge and the wisdom that when you come in here, you have power in agreement. Now, if I can have 100 people agree in prayer with me about something, I want to do that. Now, listen, if I want to play hooky for 3 Sundays and 3 Wednesdays out of the 4 that's in the month, that's not bad on the pastor. That's bad on me. See, nobody can make you do what you should be doing. Nobody can do that. You were born with something called a free will. And you get to make your own choices, but you also get to live with them. You get to make your own choices, but you also get to live with your choices. And sometimes that living with the choices is hard. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. Now God has placed each member in the body as he sees fit. And I'm going to say it from the pulpit. You have a church that God has placed you in. If you are under the sound of my voice right now and this isn't your home church, you best get in your home church and support it. Because let me tell you something. You will not have the blessing of God in its fullness until you do that. God will not bless church hopping. That also is not going to catch me any brownie points. But you know what? I don't make my living off of brownie points. I make my living off of the Word of God. And the very moment, Sherry, that I don't have the guts to just say what He would have me to say, He'll put me in early retirement however He wants to. Now God has placed each member in the body as He sees fit. As it pleases Him. As it pleases Him. I've had people come to church. They're like, this is my new church. I have no idea how I got here, but here I am. Good, I'm glad you're here. Be faithful. Be planted. Why? Because of Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 and 20. Where two or more are gathered together in my name, agreeing, and they ask anything in my name according to my will, I'm going to hear them and I'm going to answer them. Now God has placed each member in the body as He sees fit. If you should be in this place, see, there's lots of good churches in Logan County. Paris Christian Center is just one of them. But let me tell you something. If God has called you here, if you want the complete blessing of God here, when these doors are open, you're going to be here. Amen? I'm only teaching what is biblical. I've given you chapter, and I've given you verse. Why? Because I want you to live your best life. You can't do that being a flake. How many of y'all like frosted flakes? What happens with a flake? Well, let me tell you something. If I get a frosted flake and I put it on a table on a windy day, that thing's going to flop all over the place. Guess what? I'm telling you not to be a flake. Why? Because a flake is not rooted and it is not grounded. Has no weight to it. God has called you to walk in power and authority and dominion. You got to be rooted and grounded to do that. There is power in agreement. There is power in agreement. There is power when people are in the body and they are supporting and they are in the place where God called them to be and they are in agreement. Why? Because see, that's a promise that the Word of God unfolds. Where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I'm going to be right in the middle of them. If they'll ask me for something that's in my will, I'm going to answer them. Why does the Word say that? Because, Kayla, God saw how the world was going to be right now. Nobody can agree on anything. There was a couple years ago, and I thought, boy, we really need some new carpet on this stage. And I looked all over, and I couldn't find any, and there was a couple colors that I kind of liked, but I just thought, I'm going to drop the carpet thing. Because here's what happens. If I pick the wrong color of carpet, somebody's going to get offended about that and quit the church. Now, you think that's funny, but it's true. It's true. Somebody said to me, Pastor Kelly, I don't know why you look so drained all the time. Please come and job shadow me. Because let me tell you something. Dr. Phil ain't got nothing on me. Not nothing. People say, Pastor Kelly, I need to tell you what I did. They'll get 30 seconds in. Please stop. I feel like I'm going to get called in by the police station. Just stop talking right now. Let's go to praying. Don't tell me anymore. I don't want to be an accessory to anything. Now, God has placed each member in the body as it pleases Him. You have a place where you're supposed to be planted and rooted, planted and rooted, planted and rooted. Why? Because when you get in the flow of what God has for your life, He places you in a church. Dad, I'm going to put you on the spot. Dad does great under the spot. Nope, I just need you. Now, I wasn't planning on doing this, but the Lord just brought it to me. Dad has told this story. I was raised off of the faith that him and mom gave me. And when I grew up and I had problems of my own, I had to learn how to live on my faith. But you can look at people, if you look at people who are successful and you're having problems being successful in that area, you need to look around. And if there's somebody that they can do it better than you, you would do good to get that wisdom out of their life. Because, see, you don't have to learn everything by experience. Tell us the story about how you would go to Fayetteville, but you were here. When you were working, Dad's like, refresh my memory.
You know,
hello?
Yes. I would, Larry Baker was the pastor. This church was called New Life Fellowship. It was in this building. And I worked in Fayetteville. I helped build a new five-story engineering building back in 1986. And I just felt like I needed to be faithful. I'm going to tell you two things, Kelly. I would come and I would come to the midweek service. Larry Baker will tell you this. I sit right back there, and I'd have my work clothes on, because I didn't have time to go home and change. Nobody ever complained about that with me. That's just what I felt like I needed to do. Now, Kelly, I'm going to share something with you. I'm going to share something with everybody in this room. People will get offended about anything. I thought to share, these chairs are very expensive. And if I tell you, hey, look, please don't bring your coffee, your Cokes or anything else but water in here, there's a reason for that. And it's not just for you. And let me share something. You're not going to ruffle me. I'd be careful if I were you. This is just the way that this church... Does anybody have a problem with that? Put your hand up if you got a problem with that. How many of you understand what we're trying to do? We're trying to preserve these chairs. Amen. So Kelly, look here. Now I'm going to stand behind her. You won't see me, but I'm here. 100%. You're trying to help. I've never seen anybody like Kelly before, really. Since she was like this big, her mom worked as a director of nursing in Clarksville at the convalescent home there. And she had all of her people that she would go and visit when she was 5, 6. And when she was 7, she got saved. Now, Kelly, here's what we have to do. And this is what plays on people's minds. People show their ugliness because they have to go along with what everybody's doing. It shouldn't be that way. And all I can say is I've heard just lately, well, we don't like you guys talk about money, blah, 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 blah. Well, when we were giving you money, that wasn't a problem. I mean, over $1,000 sometimes. Okay, now, this is why I don't get up here very much. Because, honey, I'm going to tell you things. If you've got feelings that are loose, I'm going to loosen them all the way because I'm just going to tell you the truth. Okay? But all we're trying to do is create an environment where people can get saved. Now, a very wonderful young fella is on the back row. Jim, can I just tell a little bit of your story? Does that bother you? No. His wife was coming. His daughter was coming, and somehow I just met Jim, and we just connected. And before long, we were sitting on my porch, and Jim was helping me on my porch, my north porch. And I felt the Holy Spirit come in. And I just told Jim, and I'm going to just say this to you right now. I'm going to quote a verse out of Revelation chapter 3, behold, I said, Jim, this is what the word says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens up, I'll come into them. And I said, I think that's what's happening with you right now. He says, it is. I had the privilege of leading Jim to the Lord. And then he said, Brother Angelo, can I ask you something? Would you take me to that place where you swim? I swim in the Arkansas River every year. I do that because I'm not too old to do anything. I'm going to do it. And I said, well, sure. He said, I want you to baptize me there. And I said all of that to say this. I'm a soul winner. He that wins souls is wise. And him that buckles in the church and they're always unhappy and they're telling everybody what they're unhappy, that's going to affect your whole life. That's going to affect your prayer life. Do a study on what hinders prayers in the Bible. Now, we have in this room some of the best people. They help us every week. Now, that's the story. What the story was all about was this. What Kelly's trying to tell you in plain English is many times, and just ask yourself, don't even nod your head or anything, couldn't you be here? See, that's what a church is, where people come together when they agree. There's power in that. There's power in this room right now. You can leave what you came for right now before this service is over. I'm going to give this back to Kelly if you want me to come back. And if anybody wants that, just come on up here. We'll make sure you get it.
Thank you, Dad. And this is not a message about church attendance, but church attendance is a part of your life. There's power in agreement. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. the point of that whole story was this right here. I'm going to pull everything all back together. There's power in agreement. I believe that he was the praise and worship leader at that time in that church. And he was in Fayetteville working. And he would come right from work to church and have his part in the body where God put him. I've seen Mike Holloway do that many times. I'm sure Mike is trying to figure us out right now in the sound system. We're still trying to figure it out. But, you know, when Reba grabbed me by the hand, I was not expecting that prayer, Bobby. But see, God had already put it on her heart. There are times that God has ordained divine appointments in your life. And it's going to change your life, but it's going to hinge. That blessing is going to hinge on, were you at the right place at the right time? When I got in that car after that prayer with Reba, I had tears in my eyes because whatever took place in that prayer, that was a pivotal moment for the Manna Center over there. I was not thinking about the Manna Center. It was not even on my mind, but I could tell that she had thought about it the whole day, to the point where she knew she was going to pray that prayer. She knew that there was power in agreement. And it says here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In another translation, when I cross-reference this, it says, do not forsake the gathering of believers, as some are in the habit of doing. Some people, and I saw this especially with COVID, some people, they got plumb out of the habit and the routine and the honor of coming to church for corporate worship. They stopped going in person. Now, can you get online and can you watch a church service? Yes, you can. And for some, I believe that that's okay. But if you're well able, I believe that you should be in the actual body. Why? Because of the scriptures that we've just read. Now God has placed each member in the body as he sees fit. Where two or more are gathered together in my name, agreeing on anything, I will answer them. There's power in agreement. And also in agreement, there are things that God's word tells us to do. And it tells of people are going to get out of a habit of doing what they're supposed to do. And it tells us not to. Let us not forsake the gathering of believers. And I'm going to tell you why we should not. Go back now with me to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to look at verse 20. It says, again, I say to you that if two believers on earth agree about anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name. See, it just told us, do not forsake the gathering of believers. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. What happens in the course of life when God, Sherry, can get just two believers to agree. There's a promise in here that I'm trying to pull out, and it is this right here. When two or more believers gather in His name, He's going to answer prayers, number one, but number two, He promises His presence. His presence. We see it right here. For where two or three gather in My name, there am I with them. You need to practice being in the presence of God. Practice being in the presence of God. Some people have no peace. They're always angry. They're always upset. They're always worried. Their feathers are always ruffled. They're always out and out, busted in all of these things. Here is a promise. Where two or more are gathered together in My name, in agreement, prayers are going to be answered. But He also promises His presence. His presence. I don't know about y'all, but I'd rather be around God than anybody else. I'd rather be with Him than anybody else. Now, what happens in God's presence? Go with me now to Psalms chapter 16, verse 11.
Hallelujah.
Psalms chapter 16, verse 11. There is power in agreement. We've just read a verse that says, when we agree, when we come together as believers, there He is right in the middle of us, right in the midst of us. Psalm 16, verse 11. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in Your presence. In Your presence. See, when God can get us to agree in prayer, He answers those prayers so long as they are within the will of God. Then, not only does He answer the prayer, but He promises that His presence is with us. When His presence is with us, how many of you, over the last few years especially, you have had trouble keeping your joy? When you can get in and stay in the presence of God, here's a promise. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in Your presence. In Your presence. Get in the presence of God. Stop fighting and bickering with people that you love. And get in the presence of God. If you suffer with depression, anxiety, stress, fear, worry, here is a promise right here, right out of the Word of God. You can choose to worry about that thing till you're sick about it, but that's not going to help you. But getting in His presence is going to help you. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6. This is not a message about church attendance, because if that's all you're doing, you are not making it to heaven. If all you do is attend and shake my hand, that doesn't work. verse 1 through 6. Let me tell you something. The devil is going to mess with you any time that you do your calling. Anytime. Anytime. If I had to sit here and tell you all the little distractions and all the little problems I've had in today, devil, I'm going to address you right now in this service. You have not been able to get one over on me yet. And I have such a big mouth that if I don't even have a microphone, I'm good with that. Because let me tell you something. When COVID came, I was outside. Kayla, I would do this for nothing. I would do it alone. I would do it brokenhearted. And guess what? I've done all those things. And you know what? The devil has not been able to get me to quit. The devil will work on your mental health. But let me tell you something. If you will be and do the right thing, God will always make sure that you are on top, even when it looks like you're not going to be. I'm good. I'll just keep this pretty pink microphone. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The next verses that I'm going to read are very important. Brother Mike, I want you to turn me up higher. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This verse is why you don't get me up here talking bad about other denominations. Why? Because you know what? When you go to backbiting and getting into disagreement with other believers, God will not bless that and He will not answer prayers when you're doing that. There's one God. I was at a Catholic church service a few weeks ago. Got just as much out of it as if I was here. Now, it's not my church. But, Angel, I don't have to have the right song played for me to get in His presence. I've had people say, I'm going to quit if this one doesn't stop singing, or I'm going to quit if Brother Angelo sings, or this or that. Guess what? You go ahead and quit. Because, see, you're not the kind of people we want. I want people that know how to get in the presence of God if there's no music. Why? Because that person's real. If everything's got to be, see, nothing's going to ever just be just right for you. But by golly, when you can put off the nonsense and just say, you know what? Where two or more are gathered together in His name and we're in agreement, there's power in that agreement. There's power in agreement. And the problem is a lot of people can't get up in agreement. There's power in agreement in prayer. Go with me now to Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 14. The verse I'm about to read to you is taking place after Jesus was taken up into heaven. It's talking about His disciples and what they did after He left. Because you know what? That's what matters. what we're doing right here, right now. They all joined together constantly in prayer. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and the Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They all joined together constantly in prayer. When God can get people to do what they're supposed to do on their worst days, you're going to see prayer being answered. Anybody can do things when it's easy. Who are you on your worst day? There's power in agreement. There's power in agreement. Can you join together and can you agree? I grew up in church and I have just about seen it all. And I've been around more religious people than I care to count. Can we agree? Can we agree? Can you join with people and can you agree? Because then and only then is the prayer going to get answered. Last place for me this morning, Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? You need to align your life with where you're supposed to be going to church. And you need to be faithful there. And when the opportunity arises to have discord and division, you need to agree to join together instead of apart. Because there's power in agreement. A couple, 3 or 4 weeks ago, Deborah Dawson called me, and she was very troubled. She said, "Pastor, I have missed the FedEx guy, and I have got to have that package today." Have you ever missed the FedEx guy? It's not great, especially when you need that package that day. And she said, "I just want you to pray and agree with me that I can figure out a way to do it." Well, I started trying to give her my natural person ideas of how to do that. I had a couple good ideas. But I said, "Deborah, we are going to agree right now in prayer." And as I began to pray, God filled my mouth with the prayer. And the prayer was this right here: "God, in Jesus' name, I ask that you would cause that FedEx guy and Deborah to make the connection." And then something weird happened to me that doesn't always happen. And I said, "And Lord, please let this happen in 15 minutes. And I almost hesitated to pray that because I've learned not to give God time limits. But I was certain that that time limit was not from me. So I prayed it. By about the 10-minute mark, after we had hung up the phone, Deborah called me back. She said, "Pastor, you're not going to believe this, but I was driving in town, and the FedEx guy pulled out right in front of me." Now, let me tell you something. There is power in agreement. There's no power in disagreeing and being hard to get along with all the time. But there's power in agreement. We don't walk by faith, and we walk by faith and not by sight. things that you're believing God for, you're not going to see them first in the natural realm. Now, we need to pray for two things. Number one, Mary Baker texted me this morning, and I asked her if this was okay, and she said that it was. So if it offends anybody, I said it about four times. I'm going to tell you to get over it. But she has had ulcers, and there are some stressful situations, and she has not been able to sleep for multiple days. If you've ever had that problem, it's a bad problem. Does anybody love her, and can anybody get into agreement for that to change? Amen. Who's got that prayer? Stand up and raise your hand, and don't everybody all agree at one time. That's a joke.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, God, and we lift up Aunt Mary Baker. God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you go to her right now where she is, and you give her peace, Father, in her heart and peace in her mind, God, and we ask that you just give her sleep, that in no other way but through you, Father God, that medicine couldn't accomplish, but you, God, your peace, your power, and your sleep, God, we ask that you just go in the name of Jesus and comfort her and heal her and make her ulcers go away in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The next thing I would like us to agree about, and if you're a clock watcher, we're right on the money, but we're going to take the time and we're going to pray about this. Israel. Israel. We have got to come into agreement. I've just explained to you the power of agreement. See, this is better than agreeing in a grocery store. Why? Look how many there are of us. If every church in the world would stop and agree for Israel. But see, I can't control every church. But I can control what happens here. If you are in agreement for God to turn Israel's situation around and give them victory and give them peace and help them with this war that they've got in Hamas, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. If you can't be in agreement with that, sit down. Lord God, in Jesus' name right now, you see how many are standing in agreement. So God, I respectfully remind you of your word that says where two or more are gathered together in my name, there you will be in the midst of them. God, I believe that your presence is here. God, you speak of Israel with great kindness in your word. God, you love Israel. So God, I ask you right now, Lord, to deliver them, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you would pour out victory on them. Lord, I ask that you would give them favor. God, I ask right now, Lord, that you would turn it around, God, and help them. Lord, save them. God, I ask for no more lives to be taken from them, God, right now. And Lord, we come to you and we ask this, and God, we are in agreement. And we thank you, God, that you're taking care of it. In Jesus' name, amen.